Hello, this is Wendy Bauer. I'm returning with the Decatur Herald and Review dated July 6th, 2015. We will continue now with the obituaries. Mary Ruth Griffin of Decatur. Mary Ruth Griffin, 94, of Decatur, passed away Friday, July 3rd, 2015, in her home. Mass of Christian burial to celebrate Ruth's life will be 10 a.m. Wednesday, July 8, 2015, at Moran and Goebel Funeral Home. Visitation will be 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, July 7, 2015, at the funeral home. Burial will be in Camp Butler National Cemetery in Springfield, Illinois. Memorials in memory of Ruth may be made to St. Patrick Catholic Church. Dwayne C. Thronberg of Bethany. Dwayne C. Thronberg, 78, of Bethany, passed away 2:30 a.m. Saturday, July 4, 2015, at Aperion Care, Decatur. Funeral services will be held 11 a.m. Wednesday, July 8, 2015, at McMullen Young Funeral Home, Bethany. Visitation will be held 1 hour before the services at the funeral home in Bethany. Burial will be Oak Grove Cemetery, Bethany, and memorials may be made to the Bethany Youth Baseball Program. Shirley Wolfe Bethalto. Shirley Wolfe, age 78, passed away at 4:09 p.m. on Friday, July 3, 2015, in Mason, Illinois. Visitation will be from 5 to 8 p.m. on Tuesday, July 7, 2015, at Elias, Callel, and Schaff Funeral Home in Bethalto. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, July 8, 2015, at the funeral home. Burial will follow at the Bethalto United Methodist Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the Wood River Moose. William Harold McBee of Decatur. William Harold McBee, 73, of Decatur, passed away Tuesday, June 30, 2015, at Decatur Memorial Hospital. Graveside services to celebrate William's life will be at 10 a.m. Wednesday, July 8, 2015, in Graceland Cemetery, and conclude with military honors. Burial will be in Graceland Cemetery. Memorials are suggested to Veterans Administration. Dorothy Janet Stitch of Macon. Dorothy Janet Carr Green Stitch, 95, of Macon, died July 3, 2015, in Eastern Star Home, Macon, Illinois. Funeral services will be 2 p.m. Tuesday, July 7, 2015, in Sites Funeral Home, Moequa. Visitation will be from noon until service time. Burial will be in Macon Cemetery, Macon, Illinois. Memorials may be made to Macon United Methodist Church or Moequa United Methodist Church. Harvey Samuel Waldrop of Decatur. Harvey Samuel Waldrop, 68, of Decatur, Illinois, passed away at 4:31 a.m. on Thursday, July 2, 2015, at OSF Medical Center, Peoria, Illinois. A graveside service to celebrate Sammy's life will be held at 4 o'clock p.m. on Monday, July 6, 2015, at Bement Cemetery. The family will receive friends for a time of visitation from 2 to 3 p.m. on Monday at Dawson and Wyckoff North Chapel. Barbara L. Coleman, Decatur. Barbara L. Coleman, 79, of Decatur, Illinois, passed away at 3:02 a.m., July 3, 2015, in her residence. A service to celebrate Barbara's life will be held at 1 o'clock p.m. Wednesday, July 8, 2015, at Dawson and Wyckoff North Chapel, with Pastor Thomas Miller officiating. Burial will be in Boiling Springs Cemetery. The family will receive friends for visitation on Tuesday evening from 5 p.m. until 7 p.m. at the funeral home. Memorials may be made to the Emmanuel Southern Baptist Church or Cancer Care Specialists of Central Illinois Charitable Fund. Messages of condolences may be sent to the family at www.dawson-wyckoff.com. Franklin Delano Ashby passed away Thursday, July 2nd, 2015. Visitation will be Sunday, July 5th at Resurrection Life Church from 3 to 6 p.m. A memorial service was held at 6 p.m. at the church. Burial will be today, Monday, July 6th, in Westlawn Cemetery, Madisonville, Kentucky, after memorial service for family and friends in southern Indiana and Kentucky. Brintlinger and Earl Funeral Home, Decatur, Illinois, is assisting the family with arrangements. In lieu of flowers, memorials can be made to missionaries Daryl and Stephanie Fast, P.O. Box 6081, Aloha, Oregon, 97007, or National Coalition for Patriots. Lucille Spau. Lucille Spau, 87, of Decatur, passed away Thursday, July 2nd, 2015, in Symphony of Decatur. Services to celebrate Lucille's life will be at 10 a.m. Tuesday, July 7th, at Moran and Goble Funeral Home. Visitation will be 5 to 7 p.m. Monday, July 6th, 2015, at the funeral home. Burial will be in Graham Chapel Cemetery in Allenville, Illinois. Memorials in memory of Lucille may be made to Decatur Memorial Hospital's ICU Department, Symphony of Decatur, or to Forsyth Baptist Church. Joanne Catherine Homan of Warrensburg. Joanne Catherine Homan, 81, of Warrensburg, died on Tuesday, June 30th, 2015, at Fair Havens Christian Home in Decatur. Visitation will be from 10:30 a.m. until the time of the funeral mass at 1 p.m. on Tuesday, July 7th, 2015, at Resurrection Catholic Church in Iliopolis, with Reverend Paul D. Moreno officiating. Burial will follow at Riverside Cemetery. Richard Allen Fahner, 71, of Moquegua, Illinois. Richard Allen Fahner, of Moquegua, Illinois, formerly of Macon, Illinois, passed away at 9:43 on Tuesday, June 30th, 2015. A service to celebrate Richard's life will be held at 11 a.m. on Monday, July 6th, 2015, at Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home, Macon. The family will receive friends for a time of visitation from 4 to 6 p.m. Sunday. Richard will be laid to rest in South Macon Township Cemetery. Memorial contributions may be directed to Decatur and Macon Annual Animal Shelter Foundation or American Diabetes Association. Additional information about funerals being held today. Actually, there is no further information about any other pending funerals for today, July 6th. We will return to news with an article titled Bottle Idea Comes to Aid of Breastfeeding Moms Who Return to Work. This is an article written by Valerie Wells, a staff writer at the Herald and Review. Begins with a photograph of two women by their computer and a picture of a bottle. Libby Kirkland Left and Christine Henderson are working on creating a baby bottle that better replicates the breastfeeding experience. They are pictured with a conceptual drawing of their design. From Decatur, if you build a better baby bottle, moms might beat a path to your door. When Christine Henderson's son Gabriel, now 5, was a baby, he was reluctant to drink from a bottle. I do daycare so I can be home with my kids, Henderson said. We had never experienced the challenges that go along with breastfeeding until we had our son, and he didn't like to take a bottle. We tried several different bottles, and finally, out of desperation, I came up with a bottle that he liked, and he took the bottle. Several of the babies in her care were also breastfed and showed similar reluctance to drink from typical bottles, she said, and obviously their mothers couldn't drop everything and leave work every time the baby was hungry. Then, when Henderson's friend Libby Kirkland gave birth to her daughter Ramey, now 13 months old, she had the same problem. When Kirkland went back to work as an instructional technology coach for Decatur schools, Ramey didn't want to drink from a bottle either. "The problem," Henderson said, "is that typical bottles don't feel or respond the way the breast does, and a baby who is used to breastfeeding doesn't respond to a bottle. Even some bottle-fed babies have trouble with typical bottles." I said to the daycare moms, "This is what I did for Gabriel. Can I do this for your baby?" Henderson said of her bottle invention, which at the time was just something she created at home herself. And it worked. It worked every time. Kirkland said she tried about 10 different brands, everything she could find, and none of them worked. She searched the internet. She tried offering a sippy cup. She even tried a syringe. Henderson offered her tried and true bottle to Ramey, and she accepted it and drank the whole bottle the first time. That's when Kirkland told Henderson that she had to get a patent and start selling her invention. The women do have a patent pending, which allows them to sell their product during the 18-month patent review process, which is underway. They have a 3D concept photo, and they've talked to manufacturers about producing quantities. Their problem is that the silicone necessary for the nipple and top of the bottle, which mimic the look and feel of the breast, and the plastic for the bottle itself are not both made by any manufacturer they can find. They prefer to use local companies. They have talked to one company that could make the bottle and another company that could make the nipple, but the logistics of using two separate companies is complicated. "We are hoping to get some made in time for World Breastfeeding Week," Kirkland said. "They're having an event at Scoville Zoo, and we want to have a booth there." Henderson said a lot of mothers struggle with breastfeeding, including her friend Larae Roberts, whose experience led her to become a certified lactation consultant. Roberts has also tried Henderson's invention and sings its praises. "I love it," she said. "So many moms struggle when baby will not take a bottle. This will make a bottle much easier for baby, in effect allowing moms to continue breastfeeding longer and make being away from baby much less stressful for everyone. This bottle mimics the nature function of the breast better than anything else I've ever seen." From the Crime and Courts page, article entitled "Jail Staff Tires of Inmates Mattress Antics." Photograph of Kyle T. Pugsley, who is facing charges of criminal damage to state-supported property, spitting on a correctional officer, has been booked on a charge of aggravated battery for that offense. This is from Decatur, written by Tony Reed, Herald and Review staff writer. An alleged unrepentant serial mattress ripper being held at the Macon County Jail in Decatur is facing charges of criminal damage to state-supported property. Sworn police statements also accuse Kyle T. Pugsley, 21, of spitting on a correctional officer, and he was booked on a charge of aggravated battery for that offense. Jail staff said Pugsley, who is being held there after being convicted by a jury of failure to register as a violent offender against youth, has been kept in segregation for alleged multiple offenses while incarcerated, including ripping up a mattress. On Monday, jail staff discovered Pugsley had ripped up another mattress, and when issued with a third one, staff said they watched Pugsley immediately tear into it. Pugsley was told his damaged mattress would be taken away and he would not be issued with a new one. Pugsley then began kicking the jail door with such force that I ordered him to be placed into the restraint chair to prevent him from injuring himself or damaging more jail property, wrote Sergeant Chris Thompson. After being placed in the restraint chair, Pugsley spit on a corrections officer. The inmate was then told aggravated battery was being added to the criminal damage charges filed against him, and according to Thompson, Pugsley replied with a profanity that implied he did not care what they thought. The total value for the ripped mattresses was estimated at $282, and Pugsley remained locked up without bond. An article from Charleston, titled "Ceremony Closes the Moving Walls Visit to Charleston." One by one, the items were placed on a small stand to form the symbol for those who were lost. First, after it was inspected, a military rifle was placed bayonet first onto the stand. Next came a set of dog tags, a medal, a helmet and boots, and finally an American flag folded to honor those who gave their lives. That and the playing of Amazing Grace, a three-shot volley, prayers, and more set a solemn scene for the closing Sunday of the display of the Moving Wall, a scale replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial at the Coles County Fairgrounds. The Black Tigers Honor Guard led the ceremony with the 80% scale replica of the memorial in the background. The crowd that gathered mostly remained standing during the ceremony that marked the end of the memorial's 5 days at the fairgrounds. The memorial was open for public viewing during its entire stay, allowing people to walk along the wall and read the names of the Vietnam War's casualties at their convenience. Betty Coffrin of the Charleston Red, White, and Blue Days Committee said a large turnout was expected, and the resulting number of visitors was wonderful. The committee arranged the memorial's visit in conjunction with Charleston's annual Independence Day celebration. Coffrin said part of the timing was because this year marked the 25th year for Red, White, and Blue Days, and also the 40th anniversary of the end of U.S. involvement in Vietnam. It was meant to be, she said. The Red, White, and Blue Days Committee had been considering bringing the memorial to the community for some time, Coffrin said. The committee evolved as a support group for relatives of local military personnel deployed to the Persian Gulf War in 1991. Coffrin said some Vietnam veterans on the committee remarked that they hoped the Gulf War veterans could get a better welcome home than they did. "That basically opened our eyes," she said. While the memorial was on display, Coffrin said she heard a Vietnam veteran say it was the first time he felt like he had been welcomed home. She said the memorial received a positive reaction from non-veterans as well. "Everybody said, when you see it, you're wowed," Coffrin said. "People have been very grateful." She also said she was thankful for the help from the Charleston and Mattoon Veterans of Foreign Wars and American Legion posts for raising funds needed to bring the wall to the fairgrounds and for helping with its opening and closing ceremonies. And from the Business Journal, an article out of Decatur. The Business Journal recently announced its list of 20 under 40 honorees for 2015. The honor recognizes 20 young professionals under the age of 40 who live or work in Macon County and make a difference in the community through their jobs and participation in organizations. This year's recipients are Christina Baker of Hickory Point Bank, Brandy Binkley, Macon County Health Department, Rashonda Bon Partee, Land of Lincoln Credit Union, Megan Brahini Bennett, volunteer, Bradina Cole of Hagerman & Company, Keith Crichton, the Decatur School District, Jennifer Michelle Don of Paw Print Ministries, Justin Eichenauer of Eichenauer Services, Inc., Devin Forden of Northgate Pet Clinic, Olivia Heisner of Decatur Is Growing Gardeners, Wes Hillen, Foster Financial Services, Shane Major of Richland Insurance Services, Prescott Pollen of 300 Below, Tony Perino of Caterpillar, Mandy Landiker Podesky of Millikan University, Julia Roundtree Livingston, volunteer, Josh Sapp, IBEW Local 146, Wes Shade, Arthur J. Gallagher & Company, Kelly Smith Runyon, DCC Marketing, and Brian Zuber, Staley Credit Union. And from the editorial page, Fair Maps clears another hurdle. The U.S. Supreme Court just finished a historic session by keeping the Affordable Care Act in place and making same-sex marriage legal across the land. A much less historic decision, however, may have a significant impact in Illinois. In an Arizona case, the court decided that allowing independent commissions to draw political maps is constitutional. That decision removes one of the objections brought up by opponents to an independent map-drawing system in Illinois. Who are those opponents? Most of them are affiliated with the current power structure in Illinois politics, with the most obvious being House Speaker Michael Madigan. But don't be misled. There are plenty of politicians in both parties who are afraid that an independent map commission would put their cushy political jobs in jeopardy. The same scenario played out in Arizona with the state legislature bringing the case that ended up in the Supreme Court. The Independent Maps Coalition is organizing again to collect signatures to place a constitutional amendment on the 2016 ballot. At the same time, Governor Bruce Rauner is asking the legislature to take a vote on the independent maps issue and term limits. Through either avenue, this is an important reform that voters should be allowed to consider. Under the current system, politicians are choosing their constituents, and many legislators are beholden to party leaders rather than the voters in their districts. The Independent Maps Coalition would create an 11-person commission that would reflect the state's diversity. The commission's proceedings would be open to all, and the commission would have to protect the voting rights of ethnic and racial minorities. The maps would be drawn without regard to party or incumbency. It's the last line that has politicians cowering in the corner. The Independent Maps Coalition has recently reorganized, and Cynthia Canary is the new executive director. That's good news, since Canary has a well-deserved reputation as a capable organizer on a statewide basis. Independently drawn maps would help ensure fair elections, leading to legislators being more responsive to their constituents. An independent map system would end the practice of most legislators being located in safe districts where re-election is virtually guaranteed. The Illinois Maps Initiative would only affect state legislative races at this point, although it's clear that drawing congressional maps also needs to be addressed. The Arizona decision makes it clear that having an independent commission draw political maps is constitutional. The only thing preventing Illinois voters from having a say in how their political maps are drawn are the politicians that don't want their positions threatened. And also from the editorial page, the thumbs up, thumbs down column. Thumbs up to the annual Come Together, Let's Walk event, which had another successful gathering last weekend. The annual event raises money for causes related to breast, cervical, and ovarian cancers, and also honors those who have survived these diseases. Thumbs up to a pair of peregrine falcons that have been rescued by the Illinois Raptor Center. The falcons were found near the Tate and Lyle plant in Decatur. It's unusual for the falcons to be found in this area, since there has never been a peregrine falcon nest in the county. The nest that the two young falcons, more than likely orphans, used has also not been found. The birds are now safe at the center, awaiting a future that will most likely feature being reintroduced to the wild. Thumbs up to a continuing series of community forums being sponsored by Caring Black Men and the City of Decatur. The two-hour forum at the Decatur Civic Center this weekend featured discussions on a variety of issues ranging from voting to law enforcement issues to parental accountability. What's important about the forums is that the conversations are taking place, leading to a better understanding of the issues and what can be done to address them. Thumbs up to the Meridian School District, which will receive $5.6 million in state money to build a new school. The district has been proceeding with building plans that total $45 million for the last few years, with the promise that state money would be available. Along with building a new school in Macon, the project includes transforming the old high school into a middle school and the construction of a new grade school in Blue Mound. Thumbs up to the Education Coalition of Macon County for providing learning and skills books to youngsters who will be entering kindergarten this year. The books are designed to help the students, with the aid of their parents, to learn some of the academic skills necessary to be successful in kindergarten. The books help meet one of the coalition's goals to have every child in Macon County ready for kindergarten. Thumbs up to 300 Below Inc. and the Greater Decatur Chamber of Commerce for putting on a cool summer event. The two organizations hosted Summer Freeze, an industrial strength block party, last week to celebrate the expansion of 300 Below and the Macon County Animal Control and Care Center. The family-friendly event included a bounce house, hockey, a Children's Museum of Illinois traveling exhibit, animals from Scoville Zoo, Crime Stoppers, Decatur Fire Department, roller derby music, food, and drinks. The food included samples of liquid nitrogen ice cream. And finally, from the editorial page, an article titled Move Ahead Without Grants. Although there's no reason to close any doors, the Decatur Park District should begin making plans to do without several grant-funded park projects. Governor Bruce Rauner has put such grants on hold pending a resolution of the state budget standoff. Four grants have been suspended, and in one case, the grant was never formally approved. Rauner's indefinite suspension of all state grants for park district construction affected planned improvements at Scoville Zoo and a range of amenities at Nelson Park that included batting cages and native plantings. The future of a multi-million-dollar grant from the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity to create a new amphitheater in Nelson Park is also uncertain. That project was announced with great fanfare by Governor Pat Quinn during the election campaign, but his administration did not sign off on the grant before he left office. Apparently, Quinn forgot to add, if elected, to his grant announcement. That grant was to be matched by a $1.5 million donation from the Howard G. Buffett Foundation. Decatur Park District Executive Director Bill Clevenger said the matching funds are still available and that he hopes the grant money will be awarded. We see that is absolutely critical for this lakefront development initiative, he said. That's a valid point, but one has to wonder how eager the Rauner administration is going to be to approve a grant that Quinn announced but didn't take the time to finalize. At any rate, the park district needs to keep the possibility of receiving the various grants open. At the same time, however, it would make sense to follow the lead of Commissioner Chris Harrison and begin planning for what can be accomplished without the grant funds. My sense and feeling is there aren't going to be the grants, Harrison said, so no matter what happens in the next week or so with the budget at the state level, at the top of the list is not going to be, let's go fund all those grants that the prior governor promised. And this has been Wendy Bauer with the Decatur Herald and Review on July 6th, 2015. I look forward to reading with you again sometime very soon. Thank you.